Everybody, welcome to another episode of the OIG Roundtable. Super excited to talk about today's topic. It's one of my favorites, podiatry. For those of you that know, I've got a little bit of an interest in podiatry fraud cases. And I've got, of course, my two partners in crime to help facilitate this discussion. Matt Kachansky, the Senior Director of Payment Integrity, overseeing all of our payment integrity operations here, and the retired Northeast UPIC Director and retired Special Agent in Charge. That resume just keeps, hopefully it doesn't get any longer. We'll see. I guess we'll see, right?
And retired on it.
That's it. And Wade McFall, retired Assistant Special Agent in Charge from the OIG's LA field office and now a director on our SIU team, managing a whole slew of things. And as people know, you know, when we talk about a lot of these things, I talk a lot about podiatry fraud. I've done probably a dozen criminal cases. I had a $20 million trial that lasted 3 months, 20 defendants, and they were doing everything from drug diversion, medically necessary services, services not rendered, kickbacks, like, you know, it was kind of a cornucopia of things. And I've worked a bunch of these cases, QTAMs and civil cases and things of that sort. So what I want to talk about today is there was a recent publication that came out from the OIG on a study that was done. It was actually a follow-up study to something that was done. Let's bring this up. So OIG, you know, we talk a lot about Office of Audit Services. We talk a lot about Office of Evaluation and Inspection, OE&I and OAS. And this study, it looks like was done. It looks like this study was done by Office of Audit Services because it has an A in the front. And it was then, I think the way that they do this convention, it was the ninth study from 2022. Is that time period?
It was just put out. Region nine.
Oh, the region.
San Francisco.
That's right. It's region, study number, and then year. That's right. Region A for OAS is San Francisco. Now it is important to remember that the fact that a study was done out of San Francisco doesn't mean that it's just targeting that portion of the country. These studies get assigned kind of out to the audit offices around the nation, and they work them in that manner. So this is not with regard to, in this case, routine foot care services vis-a-vis that region of the country. This was a national study that's done. We oftentimes see the OIG doing follow-up studies. The last time, as this report shows, is that they did a study in 2002, and so they revisited the study. The thing that's interesting is Medicare doesn't typically pay for routine foot care. But there are some instances when they do. The first and foremost is that you have to have certain diagnoses in which a doctor has ordered you to have routine foot care by a podiatrist because it would cause greater harm. One great example is people who have diabetic neuropathy and do not have any feeling in their feet. And so there's a fear that when people are down there clipping their nails and doing all of that stuff, that they can do more damage than anything else. Routine foot care is generally, though, otherwise not covered. If your vision isn't good and you can't see your feet, or you have short arms relative to your to the experience that you've got around your belly and then reaching your feet, doesn't qualify. And so routine foot care has a limited benefit in which certain things can be reimbursed. And that could include clipping of toenails and some other services. One of the things here is that they found there was a 49% error rate on things, and a bunch of other things that are relative to routine foot care. We won't want to spend a lot of time talking about that specifically. I encourage people to go and look at that study because it does show that at least in 2019, 2020, the things that they were seeing in 2002 were the same. And those are the same things that I have been seeing since I started the OIG in 1997. And podiatry is one of those areas where if you are a newer investigator, a new data analyst, a new data scientist, and you are looking for cases, podiatry happens to be an area that I think has a fair amount of fraud, waste, and abuse, in part because of sometimes the issue has to do primarily with the fact that some of the reimbursement rates for some of those services are fairly low. And so you often see these instances of providers doing an E&M with modifier 25 as a way to tack on to the bill for what would be otherwise covered routine foot care services and the like. So take a look at that study. But wait, I want to start with you, because one of the things that becomes a good take home on this study is it's a way for SIUs to kind of look at their own in-house things. And the importance of these studies is to, you know, do a bunch of things. The very least is things like generating leads and things of that sort. So, you know, these studies have a lot of value from the SIU investigative and from the managerial perspective, right? You're on mute, Wade.
Mute.
There you go. Take two, take two.
Rookie move. So I think a lot of times, even OIG agents or SIU investigators, they don't really follow these. They maybe don't really see the importance of, you know, keeping up on these and reading these OAS or OEI, you know, studies and results. So a lot of times they don't follow them, but they're really missing out, and they're missing out on, you know, valuable intel that could relate to cases they're working. They oftentimes contain, you know, very specific details and trends, that type of thing, that, you know, it's insight to actual intelligence on like nationwide cases on a nationwide basis. And it can basically give you, you know, foresight into what may be coming your way. A lot of times these trends will start in a major metropolitan area, you know, New York, LA, Miami, and then they work there in typically in areas where there's strike force operations. That's like the start of a lot of these, but then they work their way into, you know, smaller cities, different parts of the country. So even if you're not seeing these trends now, if you are familiar with them, it'll help you when you're, you know, when you're looking for cases. But it just gives you a basis of, you know, the big picture on trends and things that you might see that are not yet in your area, but are, you'll probably see within the, you know, very near future.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the take home for me is if you're looking to create a project or you're looking to, you know, get somebody to become an expert in something, these are great ways. And so, Matt, I want to go to you because, you know, we look at these studies all the time. Like, we see them when they come out. We get the email alerts. We get the work plan. We get the updated work plan. We get these OE&I studies, these OAS studies, and they all have information that we consider to be actionable intelligence, you know? And so let's talk a little about that. From that leadership perspective, you know, what things do you glean from that, and what become takeaways for going forward with teams?
Okay, it's on a multitude of levels. As a, you know, as a plan or as an SIU for a plan, using these studies, using the work plans that the OIG puts out, they help in developing your own work plans on a macro level. What are the things that are hot right now? What are the trends in the industry large that we need to focus on in our own plan to focus our resources? So there is, from a leadership perspective, how do you align your resources to what is the vulnerabilities and trends that you can see in all of these sources of information that are available to you? On an individual level, it is, I've got cases on X, Y, and Z, you know, whether it's podiatry, DME, home health, whatever it might be. I've been doing this for 35 years. I am not an expert in a lot of these areas. I you know, I know some things, like, you know, podiatry, you know, who's the director of Pulp Fiction with the foot fetish? I think that's sort of you.
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, yes, yes.
All right.
I don't know if I'm a fetish, but okay. to be an effective investigator, you have to be a SME in whatever you're investigating. You have to know the policies, the procedure codes, what they actually mean, what are the requirements, how does that type of a provider work during the day, what are the, you know, clinically, what is proper, what doesn't make sense. And to do that, you've got to use these types of sources. These reports go into that. They show you, you know, not just the error rate, but what were the errors behind it? What were the things they were finding in the documentation? In some of the other studies, they will talk about the vulnerabilities in the programs that allow the fraud to go on. To be a SME in whatever you're investigating, you've got to use every source possible. And these are an incredible source of information for you. So if you've got, you know, 10 cases on podiatry during your history, you become a SME, but you have to use all those sources necessary to become that.
Right.
And you only do that by thinking outside the box.
And the thing is, these studies, when OIG publishes them on the website, when you click, you get two pieces. You get the full report, which is a very long analysis, which includes all of the statistical methodology and the background. And then you get a highlight, a summary. And the good thing about the full report is that if you are a data geek, you get all of the underlying analysis of what they did, including when they pulled the SVRS. We know that it was 100, so we could guess that it was a statistical sample of records. But you have the ability to go in and model your own things. And, you know, that's an important piece of the puzzle, because you shouldn't be working hard, you should be working smart. But also, why reinvent the wheel? The wheel was invented, you know, thousands and thousands, millions of years ago. We don't need to reinvent it from the data perspective. We have it. And so why would we look to do that? So I encourage people, and I know, you know, we look at these and we may not look at them to that granular level of detail, but we certainly are looking at what is the analysis that was done, because we want to understand what are the codes that were targeted, what are the suspect codes. The thing about the study, which is good, is they even tell you why they did the study, meaning was there an uptick in something? The fact that they did this in 2002 and it's now 20 years later, they're revisiting it. I think that to me is a little bit of an issue with that professionally, because you waited 20 years, you identified a problem, and then you waited 20 years to see if the problem still exists. I mean, we know providers on prepay, for example, or a provider that gets education and training, 3 months or 6 months, we go back. Medicare's TPE program, targeted probe and education, is right. It's a behavior modification module. And, you know, me, Wade, the three of us spend a lot of time at the OIG training as part of the cadre of instructors and trainers at our special agent basic training, FLETC, all of that. We know that a lot of things are either perishable skills or things that need to be retested to identify empirically if there's an issue. So if you've done, from the SIU perspective, if you've done something with a provider and you've provided them with education and training, you have to do a re-audit at some time in the near future to see if it actually took. To do a study like this and then 20 years later revisit it, now we still see that there's ongoing, you know, kind of, the problems are still the same, they haven't changed. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those problems are systemic problems that we can do 100 studies. Providers are still going to use modifier 25 and still claim that it's an unrelated item, service, or procedure. It's just one of those things that we know occurs. We know it occurs a lot in podiatry, but it happens in other areas. So the good thing is that sometimes these studies can tell you that the problem still exists. And if you didn't take any steps to fix it, are there steps to fix it? And over the 20-year period since the last study was done, have there been better algorithms, better models, better whatever it may be? So I think it's important, right? So wait, I'll give you the last piece of this. I think we tend in our day to want to just breeze through as quickly as we can. And so sometimes we read just the bold print, right? If you remember the movie Grey's Anatomy, not the TV show, but Human Anatomy, there's a scene with Matthew Modine where they're all in medical school and they're studying, and Matthew Modine shows up while everybody else is studying and he says, "I'm done." And they're like, "How are you done?" And his response was bold print. Why would you ever read anything other than the bold print? You get all of the information you need in the bold print and then you figure it out from there. So the highlight to me, that was an esoteric movie, right? Like, I don't remember movies for the life of me, but I remember that. I don't know why. So the point is that you read the highlight, which is the bold print, but then you look at the underlying study. So, you know, Wade, the thing I think that becomes the motivating factor is when you've got somebody interested in a case or they're working on a case, looking at these studies, but then you got to get them to, you know, kind of read through the things to, and then match it up to policy, right? It can't be a vacuum.
Right. And that's like my example, and that would be like a Cliff Notes books, right? You get the Cliff Notebooks. It's very short, abbreviated, you know, version. So like you say, when you have two versions of each study, one is the summary, which is the bold print, and it's usually bullets, you know, a couple different bullets. You look at that, if you think, oh, this isn't really anything that I'm working on, or you can file it in the back of your head. But if you need to go into the details, you have that full report. Like you said, it's usually a 1 or 2 page summary as compared to a 15 or 20 page, full on report. And probably nobody's going to start with the full-on report without reading the Cliff Notes version or the bold print. So it's nice that they set it up that way. It gives you the opportunity to see what the report is all about and gauge your interest. If it's something you're not really interested in, maybe you don't have time to read the 20 pages now, you can download it yourself to have it as a reference later if you come across that type of case. But you do have those two options, which makes it really nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, you know, again, our this week's sort of takeaway is breeze through them, find these studies. If you go up onto the work plan, by the way, any of the work plan items that have been completed, there's always a hyperlink, and that hyperlink will always take you to the webpage that has the information, the summary that I just put up on the screen, as well as the full report. So for those of you that are, you know, that look at the work plan, that check the work plan, a lot of people in compliance spend a lot of their day looking at the work plan. That's a great thing to do. Take a look at the work plan, click on those hyperlinks. It's really easy to read. It's really easy to look at, and take a look and see, do these studies comport with what you're doing in your SIUs? Are the policies that are being looked at similar to the policies you have? You know, what's your data saying vis-a-vis the OIG study? So good stuff. I love seeing these. I love reading these reports, but I particularly love when I see one on an area that I know pretty well, because then when I read the report, I don't feel like I need to do a lot of extra homework. I just kind of understand what that topic is. And we all have those. We all have those specialties that we can do that with. So, as always, good insight, Matt. Good insight, Wade. Enjoy your time. I'm really, Matt, enjoying
the Christmas. Did that movie feature feet in it, and that's why you remember it?
It did not. I was going to say, I'm really enjoying the Christopher Walken look that you got going on today. You could never get through a week without more cowbell, so I appreciate that.
My favorite movie is The Balls of Fury.
All right, then.
About ping pong.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Thank you for the clarification. Thank you for the clarification. So, you know, as always, we appreciate people taking the time. Again, you can get our weekly podcasts after the fact on Spotify, on our YouTube channel. Listen to them on your drive to and from. Now that everybody's got to go back to an office to work, take a listen during your lunch break, during your drive to and from work. And we've got a whole bunch of LinkedIn Lives that we're preparing to put out for the new calendar year. And we look forward to seeing everybody on those. And again, you go on to Spotify or YouTube channel, you can get our previous newsletter in webinars rather from LinkedIn, and our previous OIG roundtables. And of course, you can get our newsletter every Friday delivered right to your inbox. Just reach out to us at info@advisehealth.com. So until next week, we'll see you on the next LinkedIn Live on the next OIG roundtable. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you all.